You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here. That was a tough one for Tennessee's basketball team. The Vol season comes to an end with the loss in the Sweet 16 to Purdue. Purdue wins 99-94 in Louisville in a game that goes to overtime. A game that in the second half is just a classic. First half was kind of ugly. You have a bunch of missed free throws throughout the game, but the play elsewhere was remarkable on both sides. Tennessee, the way that it came back, Purdue, the way that it was able to answer a number of times in the second half. Of course, a game like that has got to have a little officiating controversy as well. I'll get to that here on the show. You're going to hear from Rick Barnes. You'll hear from Admiral Schofield as his college career comes to an end. It was an incredible career, I think, at Tennessee. You'll hear from them coming up. Burt Bertelkamp and Bob Kessling reflecting on being around this Tennessee basketball team. I'll get to all of that right here on Locked On Vols. So the first couple of segments will be all Tennessee hoops, and there's so much to get to. I'm going to miss some stuff here reacting to the game that happened. But I'll get to all of that here in the next two segments. The third segment, I'll get some Tennessee football in as well with the Vols on the practice field on Thursday. Need to get some football talk in, but a lot of it's going to be basketball with that game and the way that it went and the way that Tennessee came back. I'll get to all of that here on Locked On Vols here 5 days a week covering Tennessee. It's available on the Himalaya app, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, the third-party apps everywhere, your smartphone and smart speaker in your house as well. Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. At halftime, you have to be sitting there thinking, why is this going the way that it is? Tennessee shot 4 of 9 behind the three-point line in the first half and 4 of 13 at the free throw line. Free throws end up being a story, but really on both sides. Tennessee has to be saying, man, if we just hit more free throws, we win the game. Tennessee was 14 of 28 at the free throw line. But you know what? Purdue saying, man, we were 16 of 33. That's 48% at the free throw line. They hit several late. They were even worse than that at a time. So at the free throw line, both teams were terrible, terrible. From the field, both teams were incredible. Tennessee was 34 of 68 from the field, shooting 50%. Purdue was 34 of 63, shooting 54%. Purdue shot 48% from three. Tennessee shot 50% from three, 12 of 24. So Tennessee's free throw percentage was the same as its three-point percentage. Same for Purdue. Purdue shot 48% from the free throw line and 48% from the three-point line. I don't remember ever seeing anything like that, where both teams shot as well from the three-point line as they did from the free throw line, and from the field, both teams were better than what they shot at the free throw line. Tennessee, I guess, matched. It was 50% across the board. It's a game that went back and forth. Admiral Schofield had a brutal first half, and he was great in the second half. The shot that he hit to put Tennessee up 70-67 from the logo, what a shot. I tweeted out the video of that one. If you want to go back, rewatch it over and over again. It's an incredible shot. And then what happens? Ryan Klein for Purdue comes back and hits another three. Klein was 7 of 10 from the three-point line. Carson Edwards is the guy we talked about the most. He led them in scoring. He had 29 points on 22 shots. He was 5 of 14 from three. So pretty much everything we said about Edwards going in was true, that he was going to shoot and he was going to shoot a lot. But Klein was a guy that, you know, I would mention, I said, hey, watch out for Ryan Klein. He's a good player. He's a good shooter. He is. He's a career 40% three-point shooter. Took the second most shots this year. He's not a nobody. But who would have seen that coming? 7 of 10, and he kept hitting it. It was to the point where the talk was, you got to get him out of the game. He had 4 fouls for a while, and I think everybody on your couch, on a message board, on Twitter, on Facebook, you're just saying, get him a 5th foul. Get him out of the game. And that final possession, which we're going to talk about in regulation, Tennessee's up 2, and I'm on a text chain, and friends are saying, and I couldn't argue with them, just foul Klein. Go ahead and send him to the free throw line, or foul somebody else, of course, so that Klein can't hit a 3 to win it in regulation. So it's a game that was just incredible to watch, and around the country, everybody was, I think, glued to their televisions watching what was the best game of the tournament to this point. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It was just incredible television, incredible entertainment. Saw Roger Sherman from The Athletic tweet out that the entire stadium at the Michigan-Texas Tech game was watching Purdue-Tennessee on the big screens. Everybody was watching, and unfortunately for Tennessee, it comes out on the losing end. And, of course, a big part of the conversation comes down to the officiating at the end of regulation. And I think it's really unfortunate what happened. It really stinks, especially being on the losing end. But I don't think the officials missed anything. I'll go blow by blow. Tennessee up two. Carson Edwards goes the length of the court trying to get a layup to tie the game. Grant Williams blocks his shot. When you watch from the baseline, it is difficult to tell, and there's an angle that makes it look like the ball hits his foot. But when you see the angle from behind, it's evident that the ball is actually a few feet away from Edwards' feet. The ball went out on Grant Williams from every angle that I've seen. There is not an angle that I've seen that shows it going off Edwards. There's one where it makes it look that way, but when you see behind, it definitely does not go off his foot. So I think they got that call right with the ball being out of bounds for Purdue. Now, with the foul call, that's the big controversy, right? Lamonte Turner with the foul call on Edwards shooting the three. A couple of things. We can have the conversation, should a call be made there or not? Lamonte fouled him. Lamonte hits him in the body. There's no question. Again, there is the angle where it looks like maybe there's no contact, but watch Edwards' hip. It goes back. He fouled him. Rick Barnes said after the game, it was the right call, that Lamonte hit him in the body. Lamonte also really can't go at a shooter like that. Now, Lamonte said after the game that he had been telling the officials that Edwards is kicking his legs out, and Edwards' leg does extend a little bit, and I get that part. It stinks. It does. I can't say anything to make you feel better. I'm not even trying to. But Lamonte did foul him, and the official deciding to make the call is simply making a call on what he saw. And he saw Lamonte hit the shooter in the body. Gene Steratore, who is a former NCAA official, he does rules analysis for CBS Sports, he tweeted this after the game. While the defender does not contact the shooter's arms on this play, his hip does make contact with the lower body prior to the shooter landing. A player remains a shooter until he is no longer airborne. And Edwards is no doubt airborne. Steratore added that, in his opinion, it's the correct call. And I have to agree. It's unfortunate. I hate that that happens in that kind of spot where if there is no foul, Tennessee wins the game. Game's over. Right there. That's it. Purdue shooting the ball to win the game because it's a three. You can also see there that Edwards is right next to the line. His feet are actually, his right one especially, his feet appear to be right over the line. I think his heels are off the ground, though. I don't think he's touching it. It's amazing that you have all that going on. You have the amount of time on the inbound play. You have the placement of his feet. You have Lamonte and the foul call. You have the legs being extended by Edwards a little bit. Before that play, you have the question from which angle, where did the ball go off of? Again, I can't say anything that's going to make you feel better about the situation. It stings as well with the season, as great of a season as it was, for it in that way. And I absolutely hate that officiating is such a part of the conversation. I will offer the reminder that didn't end the game. The game went to overtime, and of course, Tennessee fell there. It's just, I'll just sum up this segment by saying, it's really unfortunate, and Lamonte gave everything. Lamonte should not feel bad about what happened there at all. I'm sure he does. I'm sure it's very difficult for him, but he gave everything to the point that he cramps up and has to leave the game there in overtime for a few minutes. He played more than 40 minutes in the game. Carson Edwards played all 45 minutes. You want to talk about an all-time battle. I thought Lamonte was terrific overall. Made a mistake there at the end. You can't jump into the shooter, and that has to be pointed out as well. It happened, and it's a bad part with it. And Rick Barnes talked about, after the game, the disappointment of the loss. He mentions Lamonte and just everything with what was a terrific season. This is Rick Barnes after the game, after the loss to Purdue.
We knew they were going to make shots. They're an offensive team, and the second half we found some rhythm there on the offensive end and started making it more difficult to be scored on. But it was a high-level game, and really, I can't say enough about our guys fighting back and taking nothing away from Purdue, but we were there. Tough one at the end. You know, we had to lead with, what, 1 point, some seconds, I think, and that's a tough foul, but Lamonte Turner played his heart out. We wouldn't even been in that situation without him, and that's a tough one for him, I know, right there, but I'm really proud of these guys, and Admiral's been with us from day one, and Kyle Alexander and our two walk-ons, and you go back 4 years ago and where we are today, there's a lot to be proud of, even though right now it's hard to feel any of that because you're always numb when this happens to you. And again, give Purdue credit.
Rick Barnes is right on all of that. He's right on what he said about Lamonte Turner. He's right when he talks about the guys who now leave, Admiral Schofield and Kyle Alexander. I saw the quote from Kyle in the locker room after the game saying he can't believe it's over. And there's really not a sadder place in sports than in the losing locker room in an NCAA tournament game, especially when we're talking about a team that had such big goals. This Tennessee team was trying to go to the Final Four for the first time in school history, and it had a shot to do so. It had a chance to win a national championship, and it came up short. It's a special group. There will be more time than just on this show today to reflect on what they did. I'll do a little bit of that coming up next, but the pain, I don't know it, so I can't describe it for you, but I've seen it, and it's really tough. You will hear from Admiral Schofield coming up in just a moment. Also, Bob Kessling and Bert Bertelkamp talking a little bit about the game on the Vol Network and these players, these Tennessee basketball players that they've been around for a long time. It really is something special that they've built. Admiral Schofield will talk about that coming up next, right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. And the show is available on the new Himalaya app. It is a great app. I recommend you check it out. If you are looking at playing around on what you listen to your podcast with, you can follow Locked On Vols on the new Himalaya app. Give it a download, available on any smart device, the Himalaya app. So if you look at some of the numbers for Tennessee's players, obviously with the shooting percentages being as strong as they were, at least from the field, free throws. So again, that's a separate conversation. But Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams, the two leaders of this basketball team, the two best players, I would say, that the two guys who have helped Tennessee get to this point, they each had 21 points. Admiral was 7 of 15 from the field, 3 of 6 behind the three-point line, and all that work was done in the second half. He had 9 rebounds as well. Grant Williams, 21 points, 7 boards. He was 9 of 16 from the field. Lamonte Turner playing more than 41 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field with 15 points. Jordan Bowden off the bench, he was the guy kind of carrying them offensively in the first half. He hit 3 first-half threes. Bowden scored 16 off the bench. Bone had 10. Kyle Alexander had 9 points and 8 rebounds. I thought he played well again, playing only 25 minutes. He did foul out later on. I thought everybody offensively stepped up. They'd like to get some free throws back. I know that. So would Purdue, though. I'll point that out. That ends up kind of being a wash. Doesn't make you feel any better on Tennessee's side, because Tennessee's one of the best free throw shooting teams in the country. I'm not sure if I mentioned it here or on the radio, maybe both, but I actually made the comment that one advantage for Tennessee could be if the Vols are up late, they're such good free throw shooters. It did not play out that way. But Admiral Schofield, after the game, did a little reflecting. He was asked about what he's leaving behind, as this is it for Admiral in his time as a Tennessee Vol on the court. Reflecting a little bit on his time at Tennessee and the development of the program over the last 4 years, and what he's leaving behind, considering what they just accomplished.
I think we've built something special. I think that the biggest thing that you have to appreciate is just this, the culture that we built at Tennessee, winning culture, and I just really appreciate it. I'm just sad that I have to go out on this note, but I think the biggest thing I can say is, you know, we left this program winning. Us four seniors, we left this program winning, and that's the biggest thing. I mean, we really came from the bottom.
He's not kidding. Tennessee, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when he was a freshman and sophomore, were at the bottom of the SEC. Remember his first two seasons, they didn't make the NIT. Last year, Admiral Schofield's junior season, Tennessee was picked to finish 13th in the SEC. They ended up sharing the regular season championship in the SEC. And this year, Tennessee wins 31 games. It ties a single season record, and Tennessee makes the Sweet 16. The Vols fell short of a few goals. Tennessee didn't win any SEC championship, and Tennessee lost in the Sweet 16. They had planned to go past that, and again, could have. They just fell short. It's still a terrific season. And for Admiral Schofield, it's a terrific Tennessee career. He's going to be, I think, many Tennessee fans. He's going to be on the list of many Tennessee fans' favorite players all time. There's a lot that he has left behind at Tennessee, and he leaves behind a program that's in really good shape. There are some players that have a decision to make. Grant Williams is probably going to go through the draft process. He could stay in the draft. He could go pro early. He could come back for his senior year. Jordan Bone could go through the draft process. He has a tougher decision to make, I would say, if he wanted to go pro. Right now, I would say Jordan Bone's best interest is coming back. Jordan Bowden to come back. John Fulkerson. Those guys from the rotation. Lamonte Turner has another year of eligibility, plus Josiah James coming in, DJ Burns. Replacing Schofield and Alexander will be really tough. If Grant comes back, then Tennessee's, I think, a preseason top five team, definitely top 10. So Admiral leaves a program that's in really good shape behind him. After the game on the Vol Network, Burt Bertelkamp and Bob Kessling talked a little bit about the players, the game itself as well, but what it's been like to be around these guys. Listen to what Burt Bertelkamp said here.
First class, on and off the court. Just you're right. You never hear a negative word about them. They look you in the eye, give you a good handshake. They're always pleasant and act. But whether you win or whether you lose, act the same way. And that's because they've got great families and they've got great coaches. It's a class. It's a class program, and I'm proud to be associated with it.
And Coach Barnes demands that from them.
That's right. He's a great guy, and they have nothing to be ashamed of. They know they didn't play their best basketball tonight. They had a good matchup. Purdue took it to us in the first half, and it's just too. You dig and dig and dig to get out of that hole, and then you just don't have enough to finish it. And that's kind of what happened tonight. And Purdue put it to us at overtime. We had ended up regulation tied in rebounding. They ended up plus five in the overtime. They were quicker to the ball, and I think their depth, the fact that they got 10 players, and he does a great job bringing them in and out, really made a difference at the end. They had more legs than we did.
I think Burt's right about that. One question I do have is, in overtime, I know Grant has four fouls, but I would have had Grant Williams in the game to start overtime. I thought coming out of the Iowa game, Tennessee benefited from getting out to a good start. And in this game, Purdue got out to the better start in overtime. Harms went to the free throw line on that first possession, so they were able to get points. I thought I would have had Grant Williams in to start overtime. I'm not exactly sure why he wasn't in there. Obviously, there's foul trouble, but at that point, you're trying to win the game. I want my best player on the floor. He ended up fouling out, but I wouldn't say that's why Tennessee lost the game either. Tennessee was beaten in overtime. Purdue outplayed the Vols in the end. It was a classic game. People around the country, I think, during the Michigan-Texas Tech game were saying, can we just get more Tennessee-Purdue, please? So the season comes to an end, and we're going to have more time to reflect and look ahead to what happens next with the program and hear more from the players whose season came to an end. In some cases, Admiral and Kyle, for sure, their careers at Tennessee came to an end. It was a really fun season to cover from a media standpoint. It was fun to watch and talk about it with you. I think we've talked more basketball easily on the podcast than we have the last couple of years. And that's because this team made it fun to watch and to talk about, and the personality that the players had. Everything that Grant and Bob just said, it's true, it's genuine. And I think it's reciprocated. The players absolutely had an appreciation for Tennessee, for the fan base, and their chemistry that they showed as a team was for real. It was a really special run to cover. Tennessee basketball's run is not over. Tennessee will come back next year as at least a top 25 team, and then again, depending on the makeup of the roster, really Grant's decision. Grant's going to play a big role in what Tennessee is preseason, but Tennessee recruiting has improved. The Vols were just on a big stage in the Sweet 16. Losing has to hurt for everybody. But last night, Tennessee basketball on that kind of stage, in that kind of game, with that kind of entertainment, that does not hurt from a recruiting standpoint. Tennessee will be just fine there. So the basketball season comes to an end. We'll have more time to talk about all that happened. Coming up in the final segment of Locked On Vols here today, I'm going to get some Tennessee football talk in, some notes from practice. Jim Chaney and T. Martin probably not very happy with what we saw, at least, on the practice field on Thursday with the quarterbacks and wide receivers. I'll get to that in a few notes on personnel with Tennessee's football team on Thursday. Spring practice halfway home. I'll get to that next on Locked On Vols. And it is here 5 days a week. Thanks to everybody who has left a rating and review for the show. The listenership has been great here during basketball season. And again, I think that shows how much interest and excitement there has been surrounding this team. Thanks to everybody who's left a rating and review. If you haven't done so and do have a moment to go on iTunes, if that's where you listen, and rate and review the show or any podcast platform, or just simply spreading the word on social media or anywhere else. It's the Daily Tennessee Podcast, Locked On Vols, here 5 days a week, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Tennessee's football team had its seventh spring practice on Thursday afternoon. So Tennessee's halfway home. They have seven more practices to go, and then the orange and white game coming up April 13th. I'd say the most notable part of the media's viewing time would be that Jim Chaney and T. Martin were not very happy with the passing drills that we were able to see with the quarterbacks and wide receivers. Part of the frustration, I think, was with wide receivers dropping passes. T. Martin let that be known. At one point, he said to the receivers, the quarterbacks are delivering the football. You've got to catch it. You've got to make a play. At other times, I think there were some passes that were missed. Either way, whether it was a play that the quarterback didn't make, or I'd say more often wide receivers not making plays, Jim Chaney also let it be known that he wasn't happy. It was several different players, young and guys that had been in the program for a while. It's a wide receiver position group that's pretty deep. Josh Palmer was a guy that was receiving some compliments the other day from Jeremy Pruitt. You have Marquez Callaway and Juwan Jennings, of course. Those are the guys that will kind of help lead the wide receivers. But Ramel Keaton's a newcomer. He was one player who didn't do something exactly right and heard about it on the practice field on Thursday. But it's a group that has a number of guys that I think can be good wide receivers. And Thursday was just one day, and it wasn't even the full practice. We were just watching a few of the periods of practice that they were doing. So things might have gotten improved. But on Tuesday, Jeremy Pruitt wasn't overly thrilled with the offense. And Thursday, while we were there, that would continue to be the case. We'll hear again from Jeremy Pruitt after Friday's practice, and then they have a scrimmage coming up Saturday. So these next couple of days are really important for Tennessee's football team. Personnel notes from practice on Thursday. Looking at the offensive line while they were doing, again, individual drills, we saw Wanya Morris lined up at left tackle with Jameer Johnson over on the right side at right tackle. You have a deep group at on the offensive line that are going to compete for starting positions. And I would say on the left side and right side, inside and out. So Wanya Morris and Jameer Johnson, the tackles that we saw. You also have Marcus Tatum, who is an option. Nathan Niehaus is an option. Kayron Calvert, Jerome Carvin, Ryan Johnson, Brandon Kennedy. Those are all players that are going to have opportunities on the inside at guard and center. And then remember, Darnell Wright will be here this summer. Trey Smith was doing work again. He was doing some light contact as he had a couple days earlier. He was doing that again on Thursday. Again, light contact. But he's absolutely been more active this week than he was in the first five practices. It's the first time we've seen him do anything engaging with teammates since the South Carolina week back during the 2018 season. Still, there is no anticipation or expectation that Trey will be involved in team activity anytime soon. We saw Chris Okporogene getting some work with the offensive line, as well as defensive back Tyus Fields. They are two newcomers, two freshmen who have been out with some minor injuries. Fields is working with the safeties. He could play corner or safety. I'd say getting a look to see where he might fit best. Tennessee overall looks like a pretty healthy football team. I'll knock on wood for you in saying that. But guys that are limited right now, Eric Gray at running back, he's not practicing. He has not this spring because of a shoulder situation. Baylen Buchanan has appeared limited in the defensive backfield. I didn't see him doing any work on Thursday while I was watching that position group. And then Karat Garland, a second-year defensive lineman, was in the indoor facility getting some conditioning work. But overall, I think Tennessee's pretty healthy. And then watching the linebackers on Thursday, we saw Daniel Batuli and Quavaris Crouch doing some work with the outside linebackers, indicating Tennessee doing some work to put them in pass rush positions. Two of the more athletic players, I'd say, that they have on defense. So it makes sense that they would try to find them ways to get into the offensive backfield. J.J. Peterson continuing to work with the inside linebackers. He's not been at 100%, but he has been practicing through the spring. As I mentioned, Tennessee's football team will practice again this afternoon. I will be there to see the start of practice, and then Saturday, Tennessee will have some scrimmage work. We'll also hear from Jeremy Pruitt on Friday night, meaning you will hear from him on Monday's show. You'll hear from Tennessee's head coach, more on Tennessee football, more reflecting on Tennessee's basketball season as well coming up on Monday. It was a great game. It was a disappointing finish, I know, but it was also, I think, a great season for Tennessee's basketball team. They would have liked to have changed some things, most notably, I would say, at the free throw line, maybe a few plays. But overall, Tennessee's players should be proud of the season that they put together, with it coming to a close last night in the overtime loss against Purdue in the Sweet 16. Thanks so much for hanging out here today on Locked On Vols. Thanks for being here every day. I want to welcome newcomers as well. Locked On Vols is a daily Tennessee show talking about what's going on with UT. It's available on the Himalaya app, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify. If you get in your car and you tell your smartphone to play podcast Locked On VOLS, it should fire right up for you. I'm on Twitter at Josh_Ward. Feel free to reach out anytime. Thanks so much for hanging out. Enjoy your weekend, and I'll see you right here on Monday.